broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web. You're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Donna Marks, author of Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, and One Solution. I am so excited about life, and I'm so excited to share with you that you can have a great life, too. But it can't happen if there's some kind of bad habit that's bogging you down. It's just not possible. A lot of people find that they've gotten stuck on something, and they try to quit, or they quit, and they succeed for a little while, and then they go back to it, and that's why I say there's just a maze of addiction, and people who develop these bad habits. The thing I really want people to understand is it's not your fault. It is designed. Things are designed so that you want more. People put a lot of research into understanding the brain. And when someone understands your brain better than you do and knows how to create dependency, you are screwed. So I want you to be free from all that. I want you to have the life you were intended to have. I know from my own struggles that I went from one thing to the next, trying to feel okay, trying to feel better about myself, not understanding from the time I was really young, what's wrong here, what's going on here? How come nobody's happy? How come things are always yucky and depressing and angry and upset? And how come this just doesn't feel normal? And I didn't even know what normal was. Eventually, children just give up on whatever that might be. And then in order to cope, we drink the Kool-Aid too. The Kool-Aid could be sugar, it could be alcohol, it could be pot, it could be sex, it could be romance, it could be spending. It could be anything that takes me outside of myself. And, again, it's not my fault that I ever got addicted. I am responsible to do something about it, though. And the first step of being responsible is to have self-honesty. You know, so many people just resist that word. I see it all the time when I'm working with people, especially with parents. My child can't be an addict. They have a doctorate degree. Or they make $1 million a year. Or we raised them better than that. And when I say to someone, tell me what you think addiction means. Define that for me. Well, it's that person that's, you know, is all strung out. And it's like, you know, those pictures you see on TV with someone with a cigarette hanging out of their mouth and they're completely out of it. Or it's that guy over in the homeless living under the eave of the building, or it's someone staggering down the street, or it's that scary person that walks up to my car and begs for money. Guess what? That is only a very small percentage of people who are addicted. And I can tell you from having a practice in Palm Beach, Florida, where I deal with the wealthiest and most successful people in the world, addiction is rampant in any social class. It has nothing to do with how much money you have, how much education you have, or your status in society. The key here is that people have become addicted without even realizing it. They become addicted to sugar. They become addicted to prescription medication. There are so many things that have been put in a person's mind to go to for a quick fix, whether it's food or spending or excitement or sex, whatever the case may be. Get the next quick fix as quick as you can, because you're not okay. You're not okay if you don't have a relationship. You're not okay if you don't have romance. You're not okay if you're not flying high all the time. And that flying high all the time could be a natural state. You could feel high naturally. You can feel good no matter what's going on, but you have to learn how to do that. So when people come in and they say, oh, my child can't be addicted, or this can't be real, or I just can't believe that. You don't understand. Well, guess what? I do understand. I've lived it. I've lived it across every spectrum, as a child, as a partner, as a parent, and as a recovering person myself. I fully understand addiction and all the forms that it takes. And I believe that there's only one addiction. It's that emptiness inside, what I call that invisible hole that's constantly seeking relief. It's almost like a vacuum cleaner in there that's saying, where can I get my next fix? And the problem is, you don't need a fix. You are okay just the way you are. Maybe, like me, something happened early on to cause that invisible hole to form, or maybe not. I don't know. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you innocently took your first drink, had your first drug, were prescribed by a credible doctor a medication, and you got hooked because it hit that part of your brain that said, more, when's the next one? When can I do this again? I'm having my pill now. Are the 4 hours up yet? I can have another one? Oh, I like the way that drink makes me feel. I want to make sure I have plenty of this on hand all the time. Whatever the case may be, there's that need and that desire almost instantly for some people. Other people, it may develop over time. I work with many people who took years to become fully addicted. And those are the hardest to deal with, because those are the more successful people often, where they've had a very, very prolific career, and they're respected in the community. But what has happened, like in their 60s and later, is that their world has become smaller and smaller and smaller, and their health has become compromised. Does the doctor tell them, you have an addiction to alcohol? No. The doctor says, you can't drink with this condition. Well, that is not helpful to someone who's become addicted to alcohol and doesn't know it. The medical community is complicit here. We have to help people to understand that their brain has become dependent on a substance to feel okay, but that substance is actually killing them. I see people with heart disease, kidney disease, liver disease, all kinds of alcohol or drug-related disorders, where the primary problem is addiction. And so you may not want to consider yourself that you have an addiction, but if you don't face that reality, this primary illness that's presenting will kill you, and it could be very often remediated or at least improved, or at least stop the progression, if the primary cause of that primary problem was taken out of the formula. People resist getting help. They don't want to face it. And then even when they finally do want to get help, they resist it every step of the way. I see this in therapy. I see it in recovery. And it's very unfortunate, because if you can embrace truth and reality, you are free. You're out of that maze for good. And you're not willing to sell your soul to something that is destroying you. You're no longer willing to put nicotine in your lungs and smoke throughout your blood system. You're no longer willing to put yourself in debt. You're no longer willing to lie, cheat, and steal. You're not willing to deceive yourself anymore. But until you're ready, until you're at that point, it doesn't do any good at all. Today, my guest is going to talk about intervention, because sometimes people have become so kidnapped or hijacked by an addiction that they can't see reality anymore. And when we talk about interventions, we talk about loving someone enough to help them help themselves. Sometimes the legal system will intervene. I see professionals often who lose their jobs because of an addiction. This is really unfortunate, and one of the things that I do in the community and some of my podcasts talk about how to help someone who you don't know how to help. And in a professional situation, it is very costly to get rid of someone who's got years of experience in a particular business or corporation and just fire them because they have an addiction, because you don't know how to deal with it. It happens more often than not. But there is a plan of action that you can do that can save a person's life and help the business at the same time. This is called leverage. And when you're talking about people that have more to lose, you have more leverage with that person. So that's we're going to talk about that today in terms of intervention. But there's also plenty of intervention that can be done with family members and loved ones. And what normally happens, and what I see way too often, is that people just want to push it under the rug. Often family members will come in and complain and complain and complain. My daughter got arrested again. My daughter has a drug dealer on her phone that's offering to bring by the drugs. Or she needs money, or she's stealing checks out of my checking account, or my jewelry is missing, or what's going on here? She doesn't remember what happened last night, or she didn't show up at all, or he asked us to come and move in one more time, and this time we thought we could trust him, and then after 3 days, our TV set was missing. Our Rolex watch was missing. We can't do this anymore. And so these things never get better, but parents often think, if I just do this, if I just do that, it will get better. And it doesn't. What's happened when someone's brain is literally hijacked by an addiction, they can't get better as long as they continue to engage in that addiction. Sometimes parents get addicted to helping their children. They feel like if they just do this or do that, that they can help. And sometimes they do all the wrong things to help. So our guest is also going to talk today about intervention among loved ones with family members and how we can help to stop the progression. One of the things that's really important to understand with the interventions is that it's never cruel. It's never harsh. It's a very loving process. I know when I've done them with different families or different businesses, they were very effective when everybody stayed on board with it being a positive experience, not a scary, confrontational, horrific type of experience. It needs to be planned, it needs to be methodical, and it needs to be caring and kind. Down deep, everybody with an addiction knows that they're out of control. They know that their life is unmanageable. And I often, when working with families, sometimes the family member is saying, why aren't they doing anything about this if they think I have a problem? You know, the family will occasionally say, you've got a problem, or what's the matter with you? And I'll say, do you think you have a problem? And they'll say, yes, but my family doesn't really think I have a problem because they're not doing anything about it. It's fascinating to hear this, how a family member will, or a child will resist with all their strength and anger and might and fight to avoid being confronted, when down deep they're like, why are they letting me get away with this? It's really interesting. So interventions can really help move through that process in a very smooth and effective way. There's also other types of interventions that we'll talk about today. Sometimes legal interventions, criminal interventions, if someone has harmed someone or hurt someone as a result of being out of their minds, then we're not just talking, by the way, about substances. There are sex and love addictions that are fatal. There are eating disorders that are fatal. There's all kinds of addictions that can really be fatal to oneself or others. So sometimes the legal system gets involved, and we're going to talk about we have a lawyer coming on in a few minutes who's going to talk about the legal interventions and educate us about that. So I'm very excited about our show today. I want to reassure you over and over and over again, if you're listening and you think you have a problem, please visit my website at www.drdonnamarks.com. You don't have to make an appointment with me. There's plenty of free resources and help available that you can find out about right on my webpage. Would love to hear from you. You can email me if you have any questions. It's wonderful. I often get people asking me questions on my emails, and it makes me feel really good to know that you care enough to seek help for yourself or for someone that you love. And this is very important, that we don't shove it under the carpet. It won't go away. It won't get better. And unfortunately, with many addictions, by the time that people address them, they become so, the brain is an organ. It's a living organ, and it can be permanently damaged at some point. Get help for ourselves, or get help for others before that happens. because if you can do it before that happens, the chances of recovery are wonderful. So I do believe our guest is joining us now. His name is Evan Carson. He is a family attorney here in West Palm Beach, Florida, and he's going to educate us about intervention. Evan, are you there?
I'm here. Can everybody hear me okay?
You need to talk really loudly into the mouthpiece because I can barely hear you.
Yeah, I'm talking right into the mic on my phone. So.
Okay, that's better.
Okay.
Welcome. Right. Welcome
Thank
to Exit
you.
The Maze.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here.
Oh, thank you. And I was telling the audience before you came on about legal interventions. And the Marchman Act is particularly, I think, what we're going to talk about today. So could you tell the audience what is a Marchman Act?
Okay, so the Marchman Act refers to a very unique piece of legislation that for a time existed only in Florida. And what I mean by that, for a time, a matter of years, it was the only state in the country that had a law that would allow an individual to be committed to treatment without a hearing. And you know, this was very controversial initially due to the constitutional implications that it raises, in that both the federal and Florida Constitution have due process provisions, which prevent the courts from taking anyone's freedom or property without notice and a hearing. So in enacting this, the legislature essentially, due to the sharp uptick in overdose deaths, the legislature considered a balancing test for exceptions to the Constitution as it relates to someone being committed without a hearing. And in that balancing test, the legislature intended, and I'd like to briefly discuss what the legislature intended in enacting this. So,
okay.
In 1993, the legislature expended a great deal of resources studying the issues surrounding the use and abuse of alcohol and other drugs in the state of Florida and nationwide. So in their research, they made the following findings. One, substance abuse is a major health problem and leads to such profoundly disturbing consequences as serious impairment, chronic addiction, criminal behavior, vehicular casualties, spiraling health care costs, AIDS, and business losses, and profoundly affects the learning ability of children within our schools and educational systems. Substance abuse impairment is a disease which affects the whole family and the whole society and requires specialized prevention, intervention, and treatment services that support and strengthen the family unit. The legislature went on with their intent to provide for a comprehensive continuum of accessible and quality substance abuse prevention, intervention, and treatment services in the least restrictive environment of optimum care that protects and respects the rights of clients, especially for involuntary admissions, primarily through community-based, private, not-for-profit providers working with local governmental programs involving a wide range of agencies, from both the public and private sectors. So this goes on. I just wanted to mention those first two findings just to give the audience an idea as to, one, the extent and magnitude of the problem that the legislature was faced with by the early 90s. So until recently, Florida was the only state to have a law like this in which a healthcare provider or a family member could initiate proceedings for an involuntary assessment to determine whether the individual, in fact, needs substance abuse. And
okay, so when you're saying provider, what do you mean?
So it would either be a licensed mental health professional.
So if somebody were coming to me for therapy and I could clearly see that they were talking to me about drinking and driving, getting three DUIs, hitting their spouse when they were intoxicated, having blackouts, not knowing what they were doing, getting fired, and all the kind of classic things, I could do this as a mental health professional?
It could be, so the actual assessment that would happen pursuant to a court order ordering the involuntary assessment, that has to be done by a licensed professional.
Okay.
However, filing of the Marchman Act petition for involuntary assessment, anyone can do that. The requirement is that that person have personal knowledge of the factors to be listed in the petition. And I think it would be helpful for the audience to have an idea of what the criteria is.
That was my next question. Like, okay, so let's just say somebody's listening and they go, oh, my God, I'm so glad to hear that this is a possibility. I have been so worried about my brother or sister or dad or kid or whatever, and I'm so happy to know that I can do something constructive. What would the criteria be?
Right. So particularly as it relates, I mean, we're obviously speaking in the context that an individual either has zero insight into the existence and severity of their addiction, or they're refusing treatment, regardless of whether they acknowledge the severity of it. So in laying out the criteria, the legislature took careful consideration of that they had conducted. So the criteria, one, there's a good faith reason to believe that the person is substance abuse impaired and because of such impairment, one, has lost the power of self-control with respect to substance use and either has inflicted or threatened or attempted to inflict or, unless admitted, is likely to inflict physical harm on himself or herself or another, or is in need of substance abuse services and, by reason of substance abuse impairment, his or her judgment has been so impaired that the person is incapable of appreciating his or her need for such services and of making a rational decision in regard thereto. However, mere refusal to receive such services does not constitute evidence of lack of judgment with respect to his or her need for such services.
Okay, we're going to stop right there for a quick break, and when we come back, we're speaking with Evan Carson, who's a family attorney here in West Palm Beach, Florida, and who also has a specialty in helping families to help their loved ones when they have an addiction, and we're talking about the Marchman Act. So when we come back, we're going to break that down a little bit, and I want to hear about some of the other services that you offer too, Evan. We will return very shortly. This is Donna Marks, author of Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution, and we will return shortly. Thank you.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again, and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern, change that mindset with just a three-step process? Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Marks' book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did.
Flip your switch to the healing moment and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments, of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. This is Donna Marks. And my guest today, I'm very excited to share with you, is Evan Carson. For disclosure, I have known Evan for many years. I have a great deal of respect for him. And he is a lawyer here in West Palm Beach who specializes in family law. And he's also helping people with interventions. And also consulting with families who have people who are suffering with substance use disorders and other addictions. So, Evan, go ahead and now let's break this down a little bit about the criteria for doing the Marchman Act, which is a legal procedure. You were telling us that anybody can do it, but the person that they're trying to intervene upon, there has to be certain criteria. So let's put this in real basic terms. I have someone in my life that I am worried about, and I cannot watch them self-destruct anymore. There's a legal process I can go through. What do I need to do? And when you say criteria, how would I best do that? Is there a form I fill out online? What do I do?
So, and that's a great question. So there are a couple of options in how to pursue the first step of Marchman Act proceedings. And that first step, would depend on the circumstances. Sometimes, most of the time, there are circumstances to pursue what is called an emergency ex parte petition, an affidavit seeking involuntary substance use assessment and stabilization. So what that means is an individual having personal knowledge of the person's suffering from addiction and the things that they've done would essentially complete an affidavit, and that could be done either with or without the help of an attorney. Now, luckily, every jurisdiction in Florida, every county court, if you go to the clerk of that court's website, has links with clear instructions walking individuals through how to file various actions. And included in those would be Marchman Act proceedings. For instance, if you go in our county, Palm Beach County, the Palm Beach County Clerk of Courts website contains a clear instruction on not only the criteria for pursuing a Marchman Act, but the necessary forms that would need to be submitted and how those would need to be executed. For instance, the individual seeking to have their loved one admitted for an involuntary assessment by court order would have to swear to the statements they're making. That's why it's characterized as an affidavit. So this would be a sworn statement in which the loved one or the professional who believes that there's criteria for this involuntary assessment would then lay those specific things out. And just to break them out, as we previously discussed, So we have one has lost the power of self-control with respect to substance abuse. Well, that could look like a lot of different things, right? You know, you witness the individual can't help themselves but drink or consume a substance on a daily basis to the point of impairment. So meaning the individual has no control over whether they use that substance on a given day. And again, that can obviously look like a number of different things.
It doesn't have to just be alcohol either, right?
No, it's alcohol, any controlled substance.
Mood-altering substance, okay.
Correct. And then, so has inflicted or threatened or attempted to inflict, or unless admitted, is likely to inflict physical harm on himself or herself or another. And that's, you know, pretty clearly speaks for itself in that, you know, this could look like multiple overdoses, belligerent behavior in which the individual under impairment has battered another person, gotten in multiple DUIs, gotten in wrecks where other people were injured. So those would be instances.
Out of control behavior related to the substance problem.
Correct. And it, specifically behavior that is either has harmed or likely to harm the individual or the community.
So they're a threat to themselves or others.
Correct. And based on either the potential for that or the fact that they've already done it. Oftentimes, families seeking to have an individual marchman acted have a laundry list of examples to satisfy this criteria.
Right. And nobody makes this stuff up just to cause somebody a problem.
Well, I can't say that that's never happened.
Right.
I've never.
Especially in a divorce, right?
Correct.
I'm going to prove you're an unfit parent.
Exactly. Now, uh-huh. Yeah, I mean,
but that's why you have that independent evaluator.
Exactly. And the other thing that's nice is that the court recognizes, you know, that these individuals who might be identified in a Marchman Act petition need representation. So the court itself provides counsel at no cost to the individual subject to the potential Marchman Act.
Oh, it's free.
Correct.
Oh, well, that's good to know. So there's no. You said that there's a form on, or there's a thing online that explains everything. Do I have to go to the courthouse?
You don't have to go to the courthouse. You can go to the courthouse and go to the clerk's office and inquire. But if you simply go to mypalmbeachclerk.com and you go to the search tab and just type in Marchman Act.
Oh.
It's going to take you to a page walking the user through how to file.
Okay.
And also give a link to what is called the Marchman Act Handbook, which I would encourage all of your all of the listeners to download.
A Marchman Act Handbook. You know, I'm so glad to hear that I can do this online because one of my careers was being a legal secretary way back when, but before that, the thought of going to the courthouse was the most intimidating thing I could ever imagine doing. Just the whole thing was just panic attack city. So I'm really glad. I know a lot of people feel that way, you know, judges and police officers and security guards and where what room and they speak a different language. I don't understand what language you're talking, and they'll tell me something three times and I'm still not getting it. So it's just wonderful to know that this can be done online and that there's a handbook that I can also download.
Yes, and it's fantastic. It provides pretty much anything anyone, you know, considering taking advantage of this particular law to know. But that being said, it is ideal if the family has the resources to pursue this through an attorney.
That's going to be our next topic. I want to talk about that because I really think that even though you can do everything you want yourself, that it takes a certain amount of expertise, either a mental health professional or an attorney, preferably both, to be able to guide someone through the emotional and legal intricacies of this process, because the worst thing that can happen is that you flub it all and then somebody's on the run or they're angry or it intensifies their denial. So we're going to talk about that. I want you to talk about how an attorney like yourself would do a Marchman Act and the difference between that and someone just winging it on their own. We are going to take a quick break and we will return. You're listening to Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. See you back shortly.
Flip your switch to the healing moment and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments, of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern? Change that mindset with just a three-step process. Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Marks' book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did. You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Donna Marks, and the show is Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. And we are very fortunate to have our guest, Evan Carson. He is an attorney who specializes in family law, and he also has another specialty, which is helping families intervene with other loved ones who have are in need of the intervention, which is legally called the Marchman Act. And he was explaining to us the criteria, how you can go online and on your whatever county you live in, Florida, probably other states have the same type of system, and download a handbook, find out exactly how to file a Marchman Act, and you can do this yourself. However, I can tell you from after over 30 years of experience in this field and doing interventions, either with or without a legal system, if you haven't ever done this, if you don't know how to do it and you can afford an attorney, that is definitely the best way to go. You will get, you will be sure to fill out all the paperwork accurately. You will be able to have that person's experience to guide you through it. And I think the most important thing of all, you know, would you get a divorce by yourself, or would you file a probate all by yourself, or would you try to do a real estate closing if you had no knowledge of how to do it? I mean, these people have a level of expertise. This is what they do, and they can give you that emotional and legal support that you need, because doing any type of intervention on someone who has a addiction problem is not an easy thing to do emotionally. So you want to get as much support as you can. So, Evan, tell us, what would a lawyer do that would be different, and why would that be helpful and recommended?
Well, so first, you know, as a basic practical matter, as the attorney, or, you know, myself or any other attorney, is entering the situation from an unbiased standpoint, trying to assess the objective facts. And needless to say, the attorney is not emotionally, anywhere near as emotionally involved in the circumstances.
Why is that helpful? I want someone who's emotionally involved. How can you possibly understand if you haven't lived it?
Right. So what I mean by not emotionally involved is I can have compassion for my clients and their loved ones,
mm-hmm.
and want a good outcome for them, but I don't have the same emotional investment in the situation that a family member would.
Your objective.
Right. My responsibility, in fact, I am required to remain objective. And the listeners can ask themselves, if I were in a situation in which my loved one, my spouse, my child, my parent, my best friend was facing potential death due to their substance abuse or putting others in danger, I would seriously question that person's ability to execute a legal document with precision.
Yeah, one of the things that we teach in mental health is that the people who have been witnessing the person with the addiction are more emotionally unstable in many cases than the person with the addiction, because they've been watching this nightmare. It's like seeing the Chainsaw Massacre, living it on a daily basis, often for years, and
right.
They're just unraveled and rattled and, you know, can't even think straight many times.
Right.
So I get what you're saying, that the attorney is objective and can outline a course of action and stay on track.
Exactly. And you know, is equally important. An attorney has spent several years in school and in practice refining his or her analysis skills. And in this case, it is of paramount importance that the portion of the petition that lists out the behavior that speaks to the criteria required for the Marchman Act, the facts need to track the criteria in a way that make it clear to the court, this individual definitely is demonstrating criteria and needs to be assessed immediately, without any kind of hearing. We're going to grant an ex parte order, and what that means is that it's an order granted without any hearing because the loved one or the attorney is, at the loved one's direction, has filed a petition that speaks to the imminent threat to the individual's safety or other's safety.
Mm-hmm.
And what that allows the court to do is enter an order directing that the individual be picked up, in our case, often by the sheriff's office, and taken to an assessing facility.
And what's an assessing facility?
So, and I'm glad you asked. That's another reason.
Is that like a sanitarium, or?
It could be. And that's what, you know, would ideally like to be avoided. So the risk that you run in filling out the paperwork yourself is not knowing that you can request that the individual be assessed by a certain facility.
Okay. And so, some are better than others.
Exactly, exactly. And so, for instance, if you had found a facility that you so desperately wanted to treat your loved one for their addiction, but your loved one was refusing to go, you could actually name that facility as the assessing facility in the petition for the involuntary assessment.
Okay.
In which case, the sheriff's office would pick up the individual and transport them to the facility for the assessment.
Just for the evaluation?
Just for the evaluation. And
okay.
Then,
so that's another good reason to have a professional help you and guide you through this process, because they know the facilities, they know what to expect, they know the good ones and they know the bad ones.
Exactly.
And you're not as likely to get lost in a dysfunctional treatment system, which does exist, by the way. We want our audience to know that there is plenty of dysfunctional treatment systems out there. You want, if you're going to do this, you want to make sure that your loved one is properly guided into a facility that knows what they're doing, that cares about their patients, and, you know, they're going to get the best care.
Correct. Correct. And because oftentimes with community-funded programs, they are severely lacking. They're understaffed, and they have way more clients than they can possibly, or patients than they can possibly treat effectively. So what we don't want is the individual getting lost in the shuffle at a Baker Act facility or, you know, public lockdown receiving facility.
Right. But this doesn't necessarily have to do with how much money you spend, because there are non-profit facilities that give very good care. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's another important factor when you hire an attorney to do this. They know which facilities, even non-profits, that are, you know, that are going to provide the best care. And when we get back, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about once someone's evaluated, then what happens. And then we'll still have a few minutes left before our show ends for you to be able to talk about the consulting part of what you offer as well, because it's one thing to guide somebody through the Marchman Act process and their person gets the treatment, but I also want you to be able to talk about other services that are related to that, which can really give a family or a loved one a great sense of security and comfort having those services. I know for myself, when I'm guiding people through the system, I'm not an attorney, but as a mental health counselor, sometimes I do this when people voluntarily agree to go to get help. So it just adds so much more support and direction, and it really avoids a lot of mishaps. So you're listening to Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. We're going to take a quick break, and we will return very soon. We have Evan Carson, attorney here in West Palm Beach, Florida, and we are talking about the Marchman Act, how to love someone into treatment is what I like to refer to it as. See you soon. Thank you.
Flip your switch to the healing moment and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments, of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com and find bookstores everywhere.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again, and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern, change that mindset with just a three-step process? Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Marks' book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did. You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, and One Solution. This is Donna Marks, and we are live with Evan Carson. He is a family attorney here in West Palm Beach, Florida, and he also specializes in Marchman Acts, the legal process of intervening when someone is incapable of intervening for themselves and they have a substance use disorder. So before the break, Evan, you were getting ready to tell us about what happens once that evaluation occurs. So take us from there for the people who are listening so they'll understand, what am I doing to this person that I love?
Right. So the process, and this is just the Cliff Notes version of the process. Step one would be filing in a case where, let's say, there's multiple overdoses very recently in which the person had to be revived. This would be criteria for an emergency ex parte petition and affidavit seeking involuntary substance use assessment. And what ex parte means is that there is no involvement with the individual who needs treatment, meaning that person doesn't get to go to court to be heard on it. This is an affidavit where the family member, loved one, or attorney on behalf of the loved one tells the court, hey, look, there's emergency circumstances here. This is what they are. This is how they meet the elements under the statute. And we're asking the court to enter an order directing the sheriff's office to pick this individual up and transport them to this facility to be assessed, provided that the sheriff's office can find the individual. And that's another good point, because oftentimes the family can't find the individual. That's another reason to go through an attorney, because as most of the listeners probably know, attorneys are very good at finding people.
Or knowing who to hire to find people.
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. So once the individual is located, transported to for the assessment, the court cannot order that the person be committed to treatment until a hearing is held on the results of the assessment, in which the assessing professional, meaning the individual who conducts the substance abuse assessment, has to attend that hearing and personally speak to the recommendations provided in their assessment. So provided that at that hearing the court is satisfied with the criteria that the assessor has laid out and recommendation, the court will then enter an order for involuntary treatment. And again, that can be at a location requested by the family.
So that means that the person has to go live in a residential facility and receive treatment for their addiction, initially against their will.
Initially against their will. Well,
because they're not capable of making a good decision. because
correct.
Of their addiction.
It's by court order. And that court order initially is good for 30 days. And that can be renewed for up to 90 days without filing a new...
Up to 3 months.
Marchman Act. Correct.
Okay.
So
Let me just back up. We only have a couple minutes, and something just came to my mind that's very important.
Sure.
Let's assume that you have somebody who's highly educated, has a lot of money, really knows how to talk a talk, and you know maybe even can sober up for a day or two, and they go in for that evaluation, and they are able to convince the person evaluating them that they have no symptoms. What do you do in a situation like that?
That's a very tough situation, and it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I actually talked to someone today who dealt with that very situation. And I have never personally seen that happen. I've been involved in dozens of these, on mostly on the treatment center side. And I have never seen a facility not recommend substance abuse treatment following an order for an involuntary assessment, meaning it's very rare that the court finds criteria for the assessment and then the assessing facility doesn't find criteria for the substance
right.
abuse.
But wouldn't a safeguard against that, again, to be, you know, very mindful of that criteria, which is where an attorney can come into play, but also to be able to have maybe more than one person involved in the intervention.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's one thing when my spouse or my parent, but when my friends and my associates, you know, you have two or three or more of these people, they can't all be wrong.
Right. So if you have multiple people in this affidavit speaking to seeking the involuntary assessment, if you have multiple people speaking to the facts contained in there, and those facts meet the criteria under the statute, I can think of almost no situation in which facility would
so happen. They go into treatment, they can they're not well enough after 30 days, their treatment team says they need more, the judge can order up to 3 months and 90 days, as you said, and then the brain is healing, the mind is healing, the people are eating normal, they're exercising, they're getting therapy, the denial is waning, it's thinning out, and they're beginning to understand that they have a problem.
Ideally,
so,
yes.
We only have like a minute or two left. Tell us what other types of consultation do you do in regards to the Marchman Act or helping families with an addicted person?
So I offer my services to individuals and families struggling with substance abuse. One, from a consultation standpoint, for instance, if an individual is seeking consultation on an appropriate facility for something that they are struggling with, or a family member seeking an appropriate facility for something their loved one is struggling with, I would be involved in interventions if the family felt that, in my consultation with the family, if everyone agreed that an intervention would be appropriate, then that would be planned out and conducted accordingly. And my experience in this field is not limited to substance abuse. Before entering the law, I worked in the mental health and substance abuse treatment field for the better part of a decade.
You were a therapist. You also had some administrative roles. You have a lot of experience personally and professionally with
correct.
This topic.
Correct. I worked. Mm-hmm. I worked in the treatment industry, not only on the clinical side, direct support to patients, but also on the administrative side, the logistical side, clinical admissions. So I myself have done intake assessments for individuals coming in.
Well, we're going to have to wrap it up. There is very few attorneys that have had both sides like that. And, you know, I'd like to think of it like I'm going to go across the ocean, and I want to make sure that the captain doesn't just have a map, that he knows how to get across from a lot of experience, and that he's also been a passenger. So your experience in the treatment industry is really invaluable in terms of having compassion, the mental health law, understanding the mental health issues, And it's not just the person who's addicted, but what all the family member is going through. So your consultation can really, I don't mean hand-holding, but really give people a sense of security and guidance in going through this very, very difficult and stormy process, which takes all their courage to muster up, and they need someone who's strong enough to take them through that. Evan, thank you so much for being our guest today. How can people get a hold of you if they're interested in talking to you?
Sure. So the best way to reach me is my office phone, and that's area code 561-689-1888. You can also reach me by email at ecarson, E-C-A-R-S-O-N, at johnchristiansenlaw.com. And that's johnchristiansenlaw.com.
Okay, well, that's going to conclude our show for today. Thank you so much for being our guest. I know this was very helpful to people, and there's so much to cover, but they can always call you and get more information if they want it. And thanks again. This is going to conclude our show tonight. Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. Please visit my webpage at www.drdonnamarks.com. Feel free to email me. Look forward to seeing you next month. Bye.